Jay, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and really a pleasure to speak with a national officer. Congratulations on being a national officer.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
You bet. I wanted to ask you about that. How long have you been part of the FFA?
I started my FFA journey as a freshman in high school, so six, seven years ago now.
All right. What brought you into the organization? Why did you want to join?
So I actually joined for a couple of reasons. One, I was chasing a girl. And two, I was trying to get away from the comparison to my older siblings. Both my older siblings were stud athletes at the high school. Both my parents were D1 college athletes. Both my siblings were phenomenal athletes. And sister was getting college scholarship offers in high school. And I started high school when I was 4'11", weighed 90 pounds. So sports wasn't really, you know, Shay's area of expertise to where I was going to find a lot of success. And I was constantly compared to my older siblings and never really felt like I was my own person until I got out into the ag room. You know, people out there knew who my siblings were. They just didn't care. And so they really allowed me to be Shay. And that's kind of how I got started and why I stayed.
Well, now how did the chase with the girl turn out?
Well, she beat me in the Creed contest about the second or third week of school and then stopped doing FFA and I stayed.
All right. Well, some things are just not meant to be, right, Shay?
Oh, no, not at all.
Well, very cool. So it sounds to me, and it's obvious, that that decision on your part has really worked out. You've really excelled in the FFA.
Absolutely. It's probably the best decision I've made when it comes to, you know, my school, my curricular activities, my extracurricular activities. It's been the best decision I've made.
That is great. Well, along the way, what are some of the challenges that you had to overcome as you learned about this organization and tried to become one of the leaders?
Well, I have no ag background. I didn't grow up on a farm or any production ag. I grew up playing sports, so on a blacktop with a basketball and a wrestling mat. And so everything that we learned in class was completely foreign to me. It's actually my ag advisor's birthday today, and so I texted her and wished her happy birthday. But without my ag advisor, Tracy Hinkson, I definitely wouldn't be where I am today because, I mean, she took a kid that had never, you know, spent much time on a farm or with any ag background at all. And, you know, one of the first days of school, we were driving tractors. you know, a couple months later, we were docking tails on sheep. We were vaccinating cattle. A couple years later, I was castrating hogs. I ended up actually pulling hogs out of a live pig. And so I just got this well-rounded animal science background through my ag program that just kind of opened my eyes. You know, a more urban kid that was able to get an experience in agriculture through agriculture education. And I mean, it really developed this passion for me. So getting over that, just not knowing anything about really anything that I was learning, it was all new to me. But my ag advisor did a great job of, you know, transforming me from a kid that didn't really know much to a kid that was very, very passionate about agriculture.
Very cool. Now, where did you go to high school? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Bend, Oregon. So it's a town of about 100,000 people, Central Oregon. If you're looking at a map of the state, it'll say Oregon across the state. I'm from in between the R and the E. I went to Mountain View High School, which is home to the Bend FFA chapter, which is confusing because there's a Bend High, but the Bend FFA chapter is housed at Mountain View High School.
Got it. And so the FFA was your first exposure or your first kind of extraordinary exposure to agriculture?
Yeah. I mean, I had a couple of friends that were heavily involved in 4-H, and I always wanted to raise a pig because that's what they did, but was never able to because where I live in Bend wasn't able to have any hogs or any sheep or anything like that on our property. But then once I joined FFA, we were able to work out with a couple of people in our chapter, and I was able to house a pig at my friend's house. And so it worked out really well. I was able to do those things that I wanted to when I was younger, but was able to do it only through the FFA program that we had set up at our high school.
Very cool. All right. So now you're a national officer and you're representing the West region. So coming from Bend, Oregon, and from a state that's as rich in agriculture as Oregon, what does that mean to you?
That's pretty cool. I think that the agriculture industry has done a great job at diversifying and making it a place for really people of all backgrounds. I think the FFA specifically is leading the way when it comes to that. When you think of agriculture or farmers, most people think of, you know, the older gentlemen on tractors, you know, working for years. And that's, I mean, a big population of the ag population. But I think that it's done a really good job of diversifying. And the FFA specifically, we're celebrating 50 years of women in our organization this year, which is cool that FFA is leading the charge when it comes to allowing those opportunities for everyone. But where I'm from is there's a lot of ag in my area, but then a lot of non-rural area as well when it gets into the cities of like Portland or Seattle or San Francisco or LA. Mm-hmm. But the FFA is present in 24 of the 25 largest cities in the country. And so it's really cool to see that the FFA is having a presence in urban settings, which without it being that flexible and, you know, malleable to the students, I wouldn't be in the organization either. Sure. So representing the rest and, you know, the rural parts of the West of the Central Valley of California and the eastern parts of Oregon and Washington, all the way through Idaho and New Mexico and Arizona and Texas. I mean, the bunch of agriculture in Texas and California, of course, mm-hmm. Being able to represent those states and the Aggies in those states, but also representing those city kids who have never experienced agriculture. I was working with students today here in just outside of Washington, D.C. at Gwen Park FFA in Maryland. And someone brought in sheep today to talk to the students about production agriculture. And these were some students that some have never seen sheep in person. Mm-hmm. And then they were able to hold them or bottle feed them. And it was just really cool to see that exposure for students who would otherwise never have had it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned 24 of the 25 largest cities in the United States. So what is that one city that has no FFA presence?
San Francisco.
No kidding. So New York City does.
Yes, sir. There's the John Bowne FFA chapter is located in Queens, New York.
Is that right?
It's an amazing program. I was up at New York's convention a couple years ago, and I spent a lot of time with that chapter. They're a great group of students who are really passionate about agriculture and go about it in very unique ways.
Very interesting. That's really, really cool. Thank you for that information. And I wanted to ask you, with your unique perspective, the way you came into the FFA and the way things have developed for you over time, how do you see agriculture influencing kind of just the world around us?
Agriculture is everywhere. There's people that, you know, see big ag or small ag and think that it's destroying the world, but without it, there would be no humanity. There'd be no way for us to survive. I mean, from the food that we eat, to the clothes that we wear, to the fuel that goes in our vehicles, agriculture is relevant to each and every one of us. I was reading an article a little while ago. They found that there's 185 uses for pigs other than meat. So byproducts from pigs go into shampoo, toothpaste, car tires, bullets, heart valves, Jell-O, marshmallows. So all these different things that you wouldn't think of, but without pigs and the byproducts of pigs, we either wouldn't have them or we'd have to make them in other ways. So even if for the vegetarian or vegan community who don't consume animals or the proteins of animals, they're still benefiting from them. I mean, the blankets that they wrap themselves in at night, or, you know, the tires on their cars or the clothes that they're wearing come from agriculture. So whether or not you support the animal production side of agriculture, all of agriculture, or just the crop side of agriculture, you know, agriculture will be relevant for everyone's entire lifetime.
Yeah, that's really well said and very, very true. Without agriculture, how are we going to get the resources that we need just to live everyday lives, right?
Absolutely. It just starts with the food that we eat when we wake up in the morning.
Absolutely. Well, Shay, you are doing a great job representing agriculture and, of course, representing the FFA. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having us on.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.